We'll start today's agenda with recording attendance and guests. I'd like to call your name and see if you are here. I don't know about virtual participation.
Okay.
So is Anthony Jowett here?
I believe he's not on yet. He's planning to be.
Okay.
Traveling.
Betsy Hamilton is here. That is I. Denise Berger.
Aye.
Zena Fong.
Aye.
Jenny Ramirez.
She's online.
She's okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Aye.
Thank you. Kennedy Hilario.
Here.
Thank you. Herb Sims.
Here.
Mason Williams.
Present.
Thank you. Andrew Ellenbogen.
Present.
Thank you. And our Lawndale Elementary School District Representative.
Present.
Howard Ho, thank you. Okay. Our ECS staff, Arnold Spel, Shelby Flechner is here. Danielle Joseph is here. Thank you. And Tracy Bondi is. And Jeremiah David, present. Sarah Jameson? I don't know if I need to go through anyone else here. And Mr. Trejo will be joining us later?
Yes.
Did I miss anyone? Thank you. Please have patience with me. I've been to many, many board meetings, and I've never run one before. I know we just have to read and follow the directions, so I'll do my best. So we're calling the meeting to order at 5:08 p.m. And I'd like to entertain approving the agenda. Would anybody like to make a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Okay.
I second.
Thank you. Mason, second. Let's go around the room, starting with Herb Sims.
Aye.
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 Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Aye, Herb.
Thank you.
Aye, Kennedy.
Vanina, aye.
Okay. I missed who was before Kennedy. Could someone help me out with that?
Janina?
Janina was after Kennedy.
Is Andrew?
Andrew? Okay, thank you. Okay, now I'd like to turn our attention to a presentation or an opener from Parnas.
Thank you. Okay, so this one is, I always start us with a question where you talk to someone else. And so if you could find someone you haven't spent that much time with, and if you could say, if you were to do a TED Talk on any subject, what would that TED Talk be? What would you really want to get across in your message in your TED Talk? How would you want to change the world or behavior with that TED Talk? So if you could find someone that you haven't gotten a chance to talk to for a minute and answer that question for 5 minutes, that would be great.
All right. I see you all.
I see you, man. We gotta separate. I'm sorry. We gotta separate.
Are you guys reading?
Yeah,
we're separate.
We're separate.
That's my book.
All right,
all right.
Yeah.
You
take it
up. Okay.
Hi.
What would your TED Talk be?
I don't know. I'm thinking about it. We did this one, and I gave an answer.
Okay.
Let me think about it.
Mine would be on diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Okay.
Because that's the field I work in. It would be either engineering or that, but because I'm in D&I space right now, I would actually talk about that.
Okay.
Talk about the dynamics of why it's important, why it's still important, and no matter what the political narratives that are floating out there and trying to do away with the D&I programs and initiatives, it's critically important for success and sustainability of not just our nation, but of our kids that are coming in, right? Just to make sure we have not only an equitable, but an inclusive environment to foster. And so I would relate it to education. I do it now as a corporate, I'm a corporate citizen.
Yeah.
But I think if I can develop some better talking points, I would absolutely do it with respect to education.
And so I would say maybe along the line.
All right. Okay, now I have mine. I'm ready.
Okay.
You helped me. Help me remember what mine would be. Okay. Mine would be about growing up in Atlanta and the power of a gifted magnet.
Which ultimately should lead to more things.
The power of that on an individual story. The power of being able to get good, being put in this socially engineered environment to segregate, and what that meant for us as a little cohort of kids through that experience, and what I see in myself and my peers who do that, we're part of that social experiment today as adults. So kind of.
So you were a recipient or a
I was.
And that was a great little story for you, or did you feel like you lacked something as a result of it in this little bubble?
Well, maybe a little bit of both.
Okay.
But I think the big headline would be like the power of going to a school where, by virtue of being in that school, everyone's given that one, right? So just like the power of I belong to you.
Yeah.
And I'm smart, and so are you, and we all are like, we deserve to be here. And just like what that meant to me in different ways of my education and career, the power of being told that as a child by my teachers and my parents. Like everyone's
that resonates with you for your whole life. It says, hey.
Yeah, right.
So when I was a kid, it was called, it first started off as GNT, Gifted and Talented.
Okay.
And then I can't remember what was the second acronym that you trained us in sheet two. Because it was when you took nothing but all the AP class. So that was a combination of saying, hey, you're gifted and talented, you take all these core classes.
I didn't want to hear.
Now, what part of Atlanta are you from?
Stone Mountain.
And you were born and raised?
I was born in LA, but I grew up in Atlanta. I moved there. My parents were there when I was four.
So that's a lot of
my parents still live there.
See, I moved away from here. I was born here, but I wasn't raised here. I was born here when I was three.
Okay.
So I just always wanted to make sense just to say
similar.
So I worked for the Home Depot there. The headquarters is off of
it's a subscription.
Paces Ferry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just lived there. I lived right across the street in the finance one.
Yeah.
At the time.
Oh, cool. How long were you there?
Yeah.
I was on a 2-year assignment.
And every month, they'll ship a box of activities.
So I was literally commuting from the street.
Right.
So they put me up in an apartment, so I stayed there for the weekend. I would go home Thursday night or Friday, come back on Monday.
Okay.
But they had a leadership program. And they would turn to military officers. So it's an amazing program. I love it. It's a great place. I say it's the back in Mexico.
Yeah.
It's us everywhere.
Yeah, that's why we moved there. That's why they left here, because it was too expensive to buy a house. And they were like, let's go to a city.
And they moved out.
They bought a house. They were in that house. Yeah.
But yeah, mine would definitely be around the DEI space just because it's a space that I love and I absolutely enjoy it. I wouldn't change it for the world. Even with all the dynamics that play out in the political realm, things in the public sector, it filters into the work. So we have to manage it. It's not a place for work. So you can have whatever views you want.
Yeah.
And when you enter this parking lot and you come in this door,
you
gotta take all that.
Yeah.
Because this is what we want, and we have some people that are.
Okay, if you can come back. Thank you.
Utah market.
And so for the final part of this.
But mine would be okay. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. If you could, if anybody wants to share, I would love to hear 3 or 4 of them with the whole.
I'll go. So my TED Talk is on how we have to stop revering unicorns because they don't exist, and we still have the rhinoceros in our midst, They have two horns, which makes them a polycorn, which is more important than one horn. So the fact that we revere the unicorn and think it's magical takes away from the fact that the rhinoceros is here amongst us still, departing the earth soon, and yet is more magical by a factor of one.
That's outstanding. Yeah.
Thank you.
I love it.
Yeah. Hitting the stage pretty soon.
That is awesome.
Coming
Aubrey.
To a theater near you. Yeah.
Will anyone else share?
The group dynamics or just the individual that we came to the table with?
Whatever you want to share.
Okay.
Both of those ideas.
Okay, sounds good. Well, my colleague Danielle said she would absolutely talk about the dynamics of the power and impact that the magnet program that she participated in and the impact it's had on her life and the power dynamic behind that. For me, it was in the DE&I space because that's where I work. So I would absolutely share the dynamics of DE&I and how we can't afford to allow the narratives in the political realm that plays out to impede our progress that we've made so far.
Anyone on the phone, on the Zoom want to share? Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Very nice. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Before we proceed, I want to recognize Anthony Joweed joined remotely.
Thank you.
Anthony, are you there?
I am, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay. Presentations from the floor.
Correct.
On non-agenda or agenda items. Okay. Discussion items. EdTech financial update. My notes say introduce Dorothy Lee and Jair Ventura. But I don't know if that's...
Yes.
They're here. Oh, there they are. Okay.
Yes. Hi, Dorothy. Thank you. Can you take over
the screen? Hi.
Hello.
Yes. Hold on. I'm going to share my screen. Okay.
Perfect.
Cool. Oh, great. All right. So just to have a quick, short review on just kind of where we are in next year's budgets. They're definitely in process. Just to tell you where we are right now, we are assuming the 0.76% COLA. And the CERS and PERS rates that we have at the time. What you will see, I guess a good look on the next slide, is we do have lower overall revenue, mainly because all of the COVID ESSER money, the plan is to spend it all by June 30th of this fiscal year. So what we may hear next week is that the COLA will go up, hopefully. Statutory COLA is 1.07%, which is, you know, a smidge higher. So we'll see if we get some positive news next week. So here's just an, you know, snapshot of each school, kind of where we are in the process. All the schools have comparable enrollments in ADA compared to this year, except at the high school at Gardena, because we're adding 12th grade. There is a big drop in federal revenue across, you know, the schools, and this is, you know, just over $2 million across the school. We are increasing fundraising and grants by almost $300,000 compared to this year, and all the expenses are planned to be lower next year, except at the Gardena, because they're adding kids. And then I just want to point out, so right now they're projected in terms of where we are in the process, they're operating losses. And I know it kind of just sticks out that the Gardena High School has this positive operating income, but this is really due to an accounting treatment we have to do for the lease. So just to tell you get you a better idea of what's actually happening. So next year we have to pay out rent of $865,000. Because of how we have to treat the lease, we only show $489,000 in expense. So it ends up making us look like we have this higher non-cash operating income of $376,000. And at every board meeting, we'll have a where we present, we'll have a slide to just give you an idea of like where it would look if we had to fully expense rent the way we're paying it out. Any questions on the budget before we move to the second interim? So this is just kind of backtracking about this report that we submitted earlier this fiscal year. So this is some reporting that we have to, all the schools and districts in the state have to do. So the second interim, these are financials that are due in March or end of February. They're financials from July through the end of January. And just to give a quick recap of kind of what the columns are, and I'll pull up the PDF in a moment, but so there's a column for original budget. This is what the board approved in June. And then there's a board approved operating budget, and this is what the board approved in September. The actuals are just whatever has been collected or spent through the end of January. And then the projected year totals are what we are forecasting how the year to end at that point in time in when we're reconciling the books for January. So Lawndale was submitted at the end of February, and then the other three schools were submitted this report in the beginning of March. So let me pull up these reports. First, we'll look at Lawndale. So here you can see the columns that I just described. There's this other column, and this is just the difference between the forecast and the board approved budget. So for Lawndale, you can see there's a big drop in LCFS revenue. This is because of 20 less ADA. And then in services and other operating, a decrease in expenses. This has to do with non-cash lease adjustment we thought we had to have, but we didn't have to do this fiscal year, and then less money that we needed to spend in instructional consultants. Further down on the first page, so also here you can see this, you know, operating income, operating loss for each of the columns. There's a section down here called net position. Is someone trying to say something or no? Okay. So I think the most important net position is we have, you know, where our beginning point in time, and then how it gets adjusted, which it has to do with the audit. And then this number gets added to either the increase or decrease in net position. This is also referred to as the fund balance. And this is the number that that the authorizer pays attention to in addition to your year's operating income or loss. So Lawndale looks good at, you know, the $6 million. A new thing that has been added to this reporting is subtracting out how much the school has in fixed assets. So this is why this unrestricted net position is lower. And I know LA County is paying attention to this number more than this number. So that is just to make it more, I think, transparent on how much has been spent on fixed assets and has not yet shown up as an expense as depreciation. So for Lawndale, their fund balance is 49% if you use this number. Next, we'll look at ECMSG. So across, you know, the period of all these different reporting periods, we do have similar operating income, similar revenues. We do have, you know, some higher spending in computers and software and substitutes. That's a big jump here in expense. And their fund balance is 27%, which is when you take this number and divide it by the expenses for the year. For Englewood, it's similar to ECMSG, you know, where their operating incomes and revenues are pretty steady. there was an uptick in expenses, and this was mainly in computers here, and they did have an increase in expense and substitutes. Their fund balance percentage, taking this $2.3 million, is 30%. ECHSG, so you can see they have bigger differences in their variance column. In LCFF, the difference, main difference really, is there's 14 less ADA in the forecast compared to the operating budget. And then they were fortunate and lucky to have great community members donating, so that's how they made up on the revenue. This, they had a big increase in classified expense, mainly for special education aid. But then this was offset in savings and services and other because of a big non-cash lease adjustment, which we just talked about earlier. And their fund balance, the 741, is 11% for them. Are there questions on the second interim? I know this is an action item for later.
Any questions?
Can you, it's Andrew speaking, can you repeat, reiterate what it is the metric that you said LA is looking at more, and just to understand it conceptually?
Yeah, so they're taking the ending net position and then making sure we apply or put in this number for the fixed assets. And they care about this number the most, this unrestricted net position, which is just a difference.
I'm not seeing so well what you're, when you.
Oh, you can't see it.
I'm not, well, I mean, I can see it, but it's a little hard. I'm finding it hard to track seeing it. So when you say this number, so ending net position is, what, like a net income number?
It's like it's a fund balance. We call it in a nonprofit or, equity, basically, in a for-profit.
Okay, equity, and then is it being adjusted for with what? Sorry.
Subtracting out fixed assets.
And that's telling them what? Not following totally.
Basically, the portion of the fund balance that is. You know, cash and cash equivalents, essentially, in our case, because our main assets are just, you know, our capital assets or fixed assets, which is our buildings, and then or building improvements in the case of our schools, for the most part, and then cash and cash equivalents.
The fund balance, if it's equity, would include a retained earnings kind of concept or no?
Exactly. Yeah, it's basically, sorry, that's the word I was searching for, retained earnings, exactly.
So the first one, the
ending net position or fund balance.
So that's retained earnings, and if you take out fixed assets, the idea is that that gives you some notion of, really, I guess it gives you.
It's the portion you haven't yet depreciated. So it's like they're just trying to capture what you haven't yet expensed, but you already put the cash out.
Can I ask another question, another clarifying question? Because Andrew's asking a great question. So it's also the point of this to kind of speak to what is the best practice in terms of how many operating days of coverage we have. Like when you say 30%, that's like a third of the year of coverage, like in an emergency situation. Is that a good index to try to wrap your head around? So it means that you have if best practice is a month or two, we are really ahead. We really have more reserves than most schools, most charter schools. Is that fair to say?
Kind of, like assuming all the cash arrived on time, like, and you already had all this, all your revenues were received and it's not on this lag. Yes, you can take that general, like, in that's a general idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, like kind of Yeah, because, I mean, you could also sell your receivables, right, or do a tax revenue anticipation note. So I think that's what I think of committee when I think of why they want to know that.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
Isn't the easier path to all of this to just say, well, what is your cash, and then what is your cash over expenses, kind of, and just come up with days' expenses worth of cash on hand?
This is the form, I mean, probably, but this is the form that all the districts and schools have to use.
So,
okay,
Andrea, I'm
just
trying to wrap my
head around. Yeah, and a little minor thing about it. So charter schools, we use SASB, and districts and county offices of education all use GASB. They use a slightly different accounting standard. And so some of this also has to do with, you know, that sometimes we report things a little bit differently than the district, et cetera, are usually used to seeing. I would say, is that a fair thing to say, Dorothy? Like,
yeah.
Could I ask that you...
Any other questions? Yeah.
Could I, this is Betsy, could you just clarify what those two acronyms were? Because it sounded like CASB and GASB, but I'm not familiar with the acronyms.
Yeah, so FASB, I actually don't know, it's like finance, it's like, what does it stand for, Tracy? The GASB is government accounting. The other one is like financial...
Yeah, I thought it was Financial Accounting Standards Board, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, so one is GASB is what, you know, government entities typically use, and charter schools use the accounting standards that nonprofits typically use.
Thank you.
And that's one of the weird things about charter schools is they often fall in these two categories, really. It's a... They're both a nonprofit, and also they receive public funds. So it can be a little unusual.
Jeremiah, can you confirm, this is a new requirement from LACO that we spend time with our board going specifically through this report in this format?
Yeah. It's their preferred practice.
So historically, all of you have seen Dorothy's beautiful, very clear, easy to understand and follow presentations, and so... Andrew, like, this is definitively not how we look at our financials normally, but I just want to, but this is a compliance requirement that we will have to do once a year.
Once a year for second interims, and for first interims another time.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was actually wondering.
There's a lot of, like, why are we doing I saw on people's faces, so I thought I'd.
I shouldn't say bad things about LACO, but the format is not user friendly from my perspective, and it was so tiny that I was using my magnifier to read it. So that impedes the comprehension a little bit. But thank you very much, both of you, for what you're sharing. Are there any other questions? Comments? Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. I just need to unpause the recording. It got paused a little bit.
Okay.
But I have a secondary recording as well, so okay. Everything's fine.
Okay. All right, so we're moving on to, maybe I need to go back and alert.
Oh, are we?
Oh, yeah, probably, yeah.
We're going to have ECMS Gardena, Principal Dave.
Hi.
Hello.
Can you make sure that you hit refresh on the slide deck because there's likely changes? Which one is
Have
one that they're seeing?
Let me pull it up.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then will I be able to see it here?
Yep.
Okay, great. Hi, y'all. Those are my assistant principals, especially on the weekends. They come and they hang out, and I'm late because when we scheduled this meeting, my wife was free on this day. Since then, she's a CIF, she's a swim coach, and her kids made CIF. So she's at that right now. I had to pick up the kids, and on the way over, I realized that I was like, I'm going to put them in an office, and they got nothing to do. So I swung by TJ Maxx, bought some Magna tiles and some books, and here we are. Yeah. 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 I just got back from camping with a bunch of eighth graders, and it was probably like one of my favorite trips since I've been camping with kids since 2007, and this is probably one of my favorites that, of all time. These kids were just so good to each other. It was exactly what you want. And then I heard Farnaz in my head, because I kept thinking about the eighth grade trips like a culminating event. And she said, no, you have to do it at the beginning of the year, because then you'll benefit from the culture. And then I saw everything, the beauty that happened, and I was like, we should have done this at the beginning at the beginning of the year. So that's my plug for that. Can you go to the next slide? Would it be possible to play that short video?
Sure.
And before you hit play, we've been trying to, like, our partnerships are coming back. It feels like post-COVID, post-pandemic, things are finally picking up. Ruckus Roots is an artivist organization that seeks to put students and young people with artists and make them artists. So we partnered with them in the city of Gardena at the Wetland Willows in Gardena. Our students have been going there they go there once a month. They walk, it's about a mile away from the school. My name is Dave Schreffel, by the way, in case, I'm sorry. I'm the principal of ECMS Gardena. And so we've been working a partner there, and there's a lot of native vegetation there. There's also a big concrete wall that separates the parking lot for Food for Less. And for like the last 3 years, we've been wanting to paint it, and Ruckus Roots gave us that partnership. So I want to show you what our eighth graders did, and every single one of them was involved.
Shine in a space that they don't typically get to be in. Just the smiles and seeing them excel at something they've never had the opportunity to experience has been just more joyful.
Hey, eighth grade, we're going to watch the video Lee
What I basically learned was that painting is fun and anything in the world could be a reality. You were able to really express your creativity and really enjoy at the same time because you were able to connect with nature.
I feel like I did something for the community. I felt connected to my creativity.
It's an amazing experience. I'm so glad to be part of it. I'm also just really happy and grateful that Ruckus Roots took us in for this amazing opportunity.
It was the first time that I got to engage in a project this large, and that has 122 students understand what a public art piece meant, and how to bring that to the community in a way that captured their expression, utilizing the theme, and also gave them a chance to participate in a large-scale project that most adults haven't even had the privilege of working with. I think one place where we can always do better is that relationship with the community, giving back to the actual community with something that will last, which you're part of making the community more beautiful for the long term. That mural is not coming down in a month or a year, it's going to be up there for a long period of time. And I hope you carry that with you. It's a reminder of the beauty that you are and the beauty that you bring to this world. So thank you, Ruckus Roots.
Teacher was like instrumental in it, and she feels like she's unlocked the power of murals, and so she wants to put murals everywhere now. I think we'll have some pitches, and I think we have a superintendent that likes art, maybe just a bit. So more murals to come soon, I hope. I wanted to focus today on just some of the things that we're doing culture-wise intentionally. I believe that like bored kids, boredom leads to mischief. I also believe that you cannot build a strong school culture by getting better at punishment and consequences. Like, you have to give them something to do. And so we started off with summer camp, and we have the opportunity to offer enrichment opportunities with ELNOP and Danielle, Charity, and Jen put together like a program out of thin air. And it was pretty amazing. We had poetry, beach days, kids learned how to surf. We had African drum circles. So from the beginning of the year, even before the school year begins, we have some intentionality of experiences going on and kids hanging out together that don't hang out during the school year, but their friends aren't there because their parents want them there. And so it's like, oh, well, I guess now we have to be friends, yeah. Which is a nice, I think, byproduct unintended. Will you go to the next slide?
Sure.
We're a small campus. If you've been to our campus, you know that it's a small place. So we have to get creative. We can't just throw a soccer ball out there and just expect that everything's gonna be okay. And so we've been doing different things on different days. On Tuesdays, we have like sports tournaments. Right there, you'll see me playing dodgeball with the kids, and they get really excited to get to have permission to throw a dodgeball at their principal. On Wednesdays, we started opening the library. We were opening it once a week because that's all we had staffing for. Now we open it every day at lunch so that the kids have a quiet place to go. Because our campus is so small that if you're like an introvert and you reset at lunch and recess by quiet time, you don't have it on our campus, but now we do because of our library. On Thursdays, there's board games, and then we don't have any pictures of me on Fridays with the kids, but we set up a punching bag and some small dumbbells and teaching them how to work out, and they love it. So they have something different each day of the week. And then that way leadership shares it. Our social worker leads the Tuesday competitions, our counselor leads the library's time stuff on Wednesdays, our dean was leading the board games on Thursday, and then I lead the fitness on Friday. And that way the leadership team shares the burden and the privilege of hanging out with kids at lunch. And then you keep tabs on things. If we go to the next slide, we also have leaders like me in October and in February. And if you zoom into that top picture right there, you might recognize a board member there who's come to speak and inspire our kids. Mm. Thank you, Mason.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was me.
But our kids love this event because, again, it's leaders like me.
Yeah.
It's not random people that don't look like them, and they get to hear about jobs that are atypical, because you know, as kids, sometimes if you don't have exposure, you don't know how to dream. A teacher, lawyer, doctor, that's all I know. Sports star, pop star. And then you hear all these different careers, and it gives them, like, it opens up pathways, yeah, and curiosity. And if we can do anything but spark curiosity, like, cool, spark curiosity and then support them. So that's one thing we do with outside partnerships.
Also, just the fact that the amount of engagement that the students have with the depth of their questions and the like thoughtfulness is really striking. And it's like, I've done it 2 years in a row, and both years I've come away like actually me getting probably more out of it than they do.
Wow.
Because of the fact that you're having this eye-to-eye conversation, which is, I mean, it's something I truly enjoy.
They have great questions. They'll also ask you how much money you make.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good way of practicing diversion. or redirection, let's say.
This year, because of our financial literacy course, our modules that they're taking in college readiness, they started asking what the credit score was. Yeah. If you want to tell us your salary, will you tell us your credit score? And so in our next slide, our IBM presentations are back. They took a pause during COVID. And in the first year back, our teachers, it was a hard year, and we put a pause in it. Last year was the first year that it came back, and this year it felt like we're kind of getting into the groove of it.
Yeah.
That's something that happens, when does it happen, Danielle? March? In March. If you all have time for that, like next year, just like pre-save the time block. Coming out and seeing those IBM presentations is pretty special. The students get interdisciplinary benchmarks in which throughout the year, as things are connected across disciplines, we encourage them to find those connections. But for this block of time, it's explicitly all interconnected. We've had a lot of success connecting it and grounding it in like an environmental science, because if you ground it in one of the other topics, it's really hard to fit science in and math. And so if we do environmental science, we find that it's easier, and it's also much more mission aligned. Can you go to the next slide? Earth Day in my tenure here, used to compose of me remembering on 4/19 that it was about to be Earth Day and saying, holy smokes, what can we do? And so we had some more intentionality this year, and we were able to split up stations during their break time. There was mural painting, repurposing art. They got to take home native plants, and it was cool. It was fun to have back, and it made me think that we need to have more special events for those things during break and lunch. And on those days, there's less disciplinary things sent to the discipline office. The next slide is the League, which was a partnership of our dean and our social worker. We have a partnership with Empower Her, but we've been struggling to figure out what to do with the boys. And so our dean and our social worker take turns facilitating groups. And sometimes they have them creating PSAs. Sometimes they start talking about emotions. Sometimes they play together. And this is one of their beach field trips that you see here. But we're really focused on building student interconnectedness. As an educator, one of the first things you work on is building a personal relationship with every single one of your students. I don't want to say that's easy, but that's level one. The other part is getting them to like each other and connect to each other. If not, you'll have kids in the same class that at the end of the year, you'll be like, what's his name? I don't know. And so we're really working on that interconnectedness, and this is an opportunity to do it outside of their advisory classes. And camping's back. We just took the 8th graders camping to Pali Institute, but we also took the 6th and 7th graders for the first time since COVID. Last year, we took only the 8th graders to pilot it. I've gone on the 8th grade trips and the 6th grade trips. I'm finding that as we bring it back, they feel much more comfortable if I'm going on the trip. I didn't go with the 7th graders because my wife and my kids would be upset if I was gone all the time. But I plan on going with 6th grade and 8th grade. 6th grade, because the parents have a lot more confidence if the principal is going, and then in 8th grade, it's my last chance to spend some time with them before they go out, and it's really special.
Absolutely.
It's just like deep bonding that happens, and they don't get to take their phones, and they survive. It's wonderful, and they get to learn that lesson, but we just got back from that. And then we've been focusing on values-based awards, so we're alternating monthly achievement and then like character, but we're using the ECS values to recognize that, and then we play games in there. There's like some donut competition eating game there. If you go to the next slide, we started using Dean's List here. So I want to show you all the pictures first, and then I kind of want to show you a little bit of like what we're seeing over the course of time. Last year, a student said to me, when I was asking for feedback from students, he said, we know that if a student messes up, you talk to the parents. What about the kids that do the right thing? How can we prove it to our parents that we're doing the right thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, that's a really good question. And so like, with that in mind, I was apprehensive to Dean's List before. Dean's List is a behavior like management tracking thing. Left to its worst devices, all you're gonna do is monitor the negative behavior. So what I said to my team is, if we're gonna make it values-based and we're gonna track the positives, then I'm down. And so what we did was we decided on contributions and deductions. You won't be able to see it here because it's gonna be too small, but all the positive contributions are aligned to one of our values. So like if they're helping peers, that's our community value. If they're taking initiative, that's our leadership value. And it's really easy to do it. It takes a couple seconds. And then our negative deductions means you're taking from the community in a negative way. And those are the inverse of a value. So if you're doing academic dishonesty, that's justice. If you're doing dehumanizing language or behavior, that's community. Like that's a violation of that. In doing that, if you go to the next slide, we can see the blue line is the tracking of positive contributions by month, and the black line is the tracking of negative deductions. So you see kind of some parallels. But what I, in September, you see the adoption curve where they were giving contributions for everything. You came into class quite late, contribution. You sat down, contribution. And we're like, slow down. We're like, we don't want it to be like Pavlovian, like that. So it settled down a bit in December. I think folks were tired and then we revamped it. But I'm really proud that the blue line is always above the black line.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good sign for our first year as we figure this out. And if you go to the next slide, referrals over time. So don't get too excited about May. We're on May 2nd. But April's going down. And so what this allows us to see and allows me to plan for next year is that you can see 2 months in which I'm going to have to make sure that we're planning things at recess and lunch almost every day. Because September and March are hard. And we can see it. And we can see it like data-wise. And so it allows us to plan proactively. But we also see that peak in March this year that felt really hard, that we got it under control. And we're on the right trajectory. And it feels like that downward slope is going to maintain. And I would attribute that to a lot of the things that you saw in the slides previous. So I don't have more than that. I just kind of want to show you some of the things we're trying and how we're tracking to see if there's an empirical correlation. And then we also tied it to, I didn't get to put the chronic absenteeism stuff here. When we look at chronic absenteeism, the numbers still remain pretty high relative to the pandemic. But part of what is there is that some of those students were students that really wanted to stay enrolled in our school despite living far away. And eventually they said they couldn't do it. So when you switch it to currently enrolled students, it drops dramatically. And our chronic absenteeism looks way, way better. So and then these babies are my school all the time.
I asked them to come in because I think we're going to do the appreciations for Dave now because he's going to leave. But I think it's always special. They get to see you go to work
That's
every day,
right.
But they don't always get to see your community appreciate you for all the wonderful things that you do. So we wanted to have you guys here for that. So appreciations for Dave.
I just think it's wonderful what a culture you've created
yes.
in school and how much warmth with intention you bring to the students who really, really need it.
Thank you.
The most, so
thank you. I wish I could be a student at your school. That's my principal. That's really remarkable.
Thank you.
Dave does this thing both at graduation but at meetings throughout the year where he says, if nobody told you today that they love you, let me tell you that I love you. And every time he says it, I just start crying.
Yeah.
And so does he.
I was soft before they were born.
But your level of love for the kids is so overwhelmingly palpable, and your kids.
Yeah.
He's the proudest dad. Every day he comes and he talks about you guys to everyone at work too.
What grade are you going to in August?
Kindergarten.
Oh, very nice.
It's a fun grade.
Okay, I'm going to kindergarten tomorrow.
Yeah, Tori's kindergarten tomorrow. Oh! Oh.
You get a little insight into what to expect, huh?
And I'm
going
to
be there
before
the morning.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Dan. Thank you.
Did you eat? Yeah. Thank you.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Okay, from that excitement and depth and hope that was provided in that presentation, we now are moving to approve consent items A through K.
Yes.
And unless there are any questions about the consent, are there any questions about any of the consent items? Seeing none, I would like to entertain a motion to approve consent items A through K.
I motion to approve consent items A through K. Denise.
Second. I have a comment on it before you vote. Jen Fenton? Sorry. I just wanted to do an appreciation for Jen Fenton. She came here as our Director of Health and Safety. You see her consent agenda item under approved private donations, but she has beautifully evolved to be our director of development. I mean, she's director of special initiatives, but the amount of development success she's had the last few months has been awe-inspiring. Mm. We're like 70% of our way there for fundraising goal for Lawndale, but she is strategic and thoughtful and detail-oriented and capable and fast. And so I just wanted to, while you're still here, appreciate the impact that you're having on our fund development. We set a goal to double fundraising so that we could make our budgets possible this year. And I think it's only possible because of her awesomeness.
Very nice. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Pranaz. Okay, with a motion by Denise and a second by Madhu, could we have a voice roll call, please? Her?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
I'm just going to say, Howard, Zina, Madhu, and Denise voted aye.
Anthony, aye.
Okay, Anthony.
And then Andrew.
Aye.
Andrew.
Janina, aye.
And Janina. Okay, thank you, everybody.
And Kennedy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Kennedy, aye.
Thank you. I can't see you all, so thank you for chiming in. All right, now we'll go to action. Action items. This item is to approve the second interim financials for ECHS Lawndale, well, for all the schools as recommended. So are there any questions about this before? The slides, I believe, were presented previously, so that's
what Dorothy went through in detail.
Yes, yeah, so we don't need to, but we do need to vote on it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Are there any questions before we vote on it? Probably not, because we already went through this. Could you just do a roll call?
Can we get a motion?
We did a motion.
Did we?
Previously, it was all.
No, I think that was the motion for consent.
So yeah, this is separate one.
That's item A.
Oh, okay.
No, it's the next A.
This is the next
A.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is the second A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
new A.
Yeah.
We have to vote on
yes. Yeah, we have to get
a motion.
I've moved to approve the second interim financials for all the schools.
Thank you.
I second
and
that.
Well,
that's
Denise.
Mason.
Thank you.
This is the second. Mason, and moved by Mason, seconded by Denise, and then we'll go over
aye.
To the room.
Herb.
Herb.
Mason, aye.
Howard, aye.
Zina, aye. Madhu, aye. Denise, aye.
Thank you.
Anthony?
Aye.
Janina?
Aye.
Andrew?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Thank you for your help, Pranaz. I appreciate that. I can't see anyone here. Okay, that passes unanimously. Thank you. Upcoming dates and announcements. The next CCS board meeting is June 20th at 5 p.m. Did you want to share?
No, just to share, if you could mark your calendars by Governance Committee and Finance Committee, please mark your calendars that these are coming up. And then...
another calendar announcement. Dave mentioned the IBM projects where you can see students at his campus in March, but at our high schools, they're going to be a ton of student presentations happening the first week in June.
Okay.
So if anybody's interested, or if you want, I can send an email with details to all of you. I will. And they're, you know, they're really fun, and they're all student-led and driven projects.
Can I just ask for the dates, if you have them, of when you're having people come and speak, like, about their careers? Because I might have...
Absolutely.
People.
The leaders like
yeah.
me.
Leaders
yeah,
like me, if we have those dates in advance. Because sometimes people that I know are don't live here, but they come through here for work. And so if we can snag them, that'd
mm-hmm.
be great.
Of course.
Okay.
Yes, I would like to also be informed. I have a couple of recommendations for these leaders like me events.
Sounds good, Janina. Thank you,
Janina. Anyone else have any comments or questions?
Hearing none, we'll move to appreciations.
I have a slew of appreciations today that I'd like to bring to your attention. First of all, for those of you who have not met Dr. Shalene Wright, I want you to know her. She is our Director of Special Education and English Language Development Programs and has been a gift to this organization.
All right.
Her knowledge, her insight, her skill, but also at this moment, we have two of our special education coordinators on parental leave, one person who left the organization. So she is stepping in the most beautiful
Very
way
nice.
To support the entire community and to strengthen our special education program so that there's far better inclusion than we've had in the past. So I just want to sincerely appreciate her and her presence. Cesar Delgado is not here, but you guys have seen him before. He's our specialist who supervises social work. And we've also had deans out and sometimes principals out. And Cesar manages the social workers. He convenes the deans. He subs for the deans. And he supports with all the discipline and culture stuff in a really beautiful way. So I want to appreciate him. Then we also have the Los Angeles County Office of Education Board come to our Lawndale campus. So. I'm sorry, our Gardena High School campus, thank you. And in that meeting, we had several of our leaders who really shined and represented ECS beautifully. But I want to, in this context, share with you that I'm perpetually impressed by this human being, Danielle Kelsick, who's sitting next to me. Mm-hmm. She's one of the best leaders I've ever had the honor of working with.
Oh,
she's
very nice.
So thoughtful, so capable, so... She's multifaceted, and she's really developing the principles in a really beautiful way. So I'm consistently inspired by her, and I just wanted to do a huge shout-out for her. She came and spoke in front of the LACO board. In any given day, she subs for a principal. She takes care of everyone. She does the best professional development possible. So I'm just, I want to give her a big round of applause.
Very nice. Very nice.
Those are all of my appreciations, I'm sorry. But anyone else is welcome to share anything that they appreciate.
Well, I would appreciate Denise for never giving up on me. It took me almost 2 years before I joined you, but she's like, Herb, you gotta come out. Every time I would see her, she would remind me. And it finally happened, my friend, so I'm grateful for that because I've been enjoying this.
I appreciate you for coming on board here. It's awesome having you.
And she wasn't going to take no for an answer. That's the bottom line. Yes, but I appreciate you, my friend.
Anyone else want to share something? Well, I appreciated my conversation with Denise and the topic, which we don't have to get into, but... TED Talk topic, but not the specifics. But it made me reflect on a number of things, including a conversation I had with my son Joaquin today. And I sent him a photograph of a report that I had written in fifth grade that was found by someone in a house that I used to live in.
Oh my goodness.
You know, 50 years ago-ish, and so I have all these things, and I want to bring them in sometime to show you how horrible my education was. It was shockingly racist, sexist, I mean, I could go on, but I just wanted to share that because...
And rudimentary.
Beyond stupid. I'm sorry that I know this is being recorded. That sounds rude, but no, it was the, like there was a Westward Ho, you know, a picture of a grant of a wagon train, and then the things that were being there was really no factual information being taught. So I deeply, deeply, deeply appreciate this organization for being complex and thoughtful and deep. And research-based and committed to all the things that are on the back of the sweatshirt, all of the information. So I just want to appreciate everyone for that. It's just such a high quality and so meaningful what happens here.
Very nice.
Anybody else?
Thank you, Dr. Hull from Lawndale, for being here. And
oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
Much.
Yes, no problem.
Is this your first time?
This is my first time.
Okay. I just have one announcement. We, as of today, we now have all of our principals back from their parental leaves, and we have a fully staffed principal cadre right now, which is a beautiful thing. We've been working this year with 2 of 4 principals out for extended time, so we're grateful that they are back and are ready to be back to work.
Very nice.
That's great. Awesome. All right, transition to closed session. It is 6:07.
So actually, we can jump right in because everyone here can stay for the first part of closed session. I'd like to propose that. Is that okay?
Yes.
Actually,
vote on going to closed session.
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah, it's not in the same room. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, but you're good to go. Also, I mean,
yeah,
there's no reason to stay.
Yeah. So I'm. As we get ready to vote to move into closed session, I just wanted to propose that we flip the order of the agenda items so that we're talking about the EEU stuff first, so that the directors can be here, and then I'll go into the other room. You guys can talk about me, and then I'll come back. But anyways, is that okay? So
sure.
So we can have them present for this part. So, I guess vote.
Yes. Hopefully everyone got the information about the evaluation. So we're just voting on moving into closed session. So could someone make a motion to move into closed session?
Herb, I move that we move into closed session.
In a second.
Howard, aye. Second.
Howard. I'll just go around the room.
Herb, aye.
Mason, aye.
Howard, aye.
Dina, aye. Madhu, aye.
Mrs. Aye.
And online we have
Anthony.
Anthony,
aye. And I'm going through security, so I'm gonna, I'll be here, but I'm gonna go through security at the airport.
Okay. Andrew.
Aye.
Janita.
Aye.
Hilario.
Kennedy.
I'm sorry, aye. Kennedy. So I can't read anything. And I'm confused. Thank you so much. All right.
Dorothy and I, are we invited in? Or?
Dorothy, you're welcome to go. Tracy, if you want to stay, you can, but you don't have to. That's okay.
Okay, I'll stay for a bit, and then if I get pulled away.
Sounds good.
Okay, so we're going to adjourn into closed session.
Yes.
At 6:09.
Hello. Hi. Okay, welcome back to open session. Welcome back, Farnaz. We have nothing to report out from closed session. We back into open session at 7:11. And have a vote on the ratification of the superintendent's employment agreement.
Move to ratify the superintendent's employment agreement. Mason.
I second.
Thank you.
Herb, aye.
Mason, aye.
Dana, aye. Denise, aye.
Betsy, aye. And then, Kennedy or Andrew?
Andrew, aye.
Kennedy, aye.
Janina, aye.
Anthony, aye.
Unanimous. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I'll make a brief statement that I think might encapsulate a lot of what was discussed. I don't think I can do it.
We love you.
Love you.
I did write some. Everybody loves you. I wrote some things down. All of us want to make sure that you have a better balance in work and life, and that we admire and appreciate all that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want that to be the goal, and possibly you're so outstanding at everything you do, but a goal might be delegation, which given what we've discussed before, is appropriate at this time, and seeing the potential in others and building their capacity,
mm-hmm.
which will also help your shoulders not be weighed down with the response.
I think you captured it.
Thank you.
I want to say thank you to everyone too, everyone online as well. I in my sixth year here, this is the kind of evaluation I've ever had in my career.
Yeah.
Oh. Reading that definitely it filled my cup and maybe, you know, having this up week and just definitely.
Oh, very nice.
It's a good process. And it was more people too. It was 30 people and almost everyone had responded, and
yep.
it was really helpful to get that you know. Thank you guys. Thank you for tuning in it. Thank you for your kind words and for everything you guys do for your guests. All out of love.
Thank you.
Other comments?
Hey, team.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So we voted on the ratification of superintendent's employment and closing items. Meeting. Can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So move.
Herb and Denise, you heavy hitters on the.
It's typically Mason. I think I've been beating to the gun.
Give me on that one.
I was
good to answer.
Adjourning.
Herb, aye.
Mason, aye.
Aye.
Dana, aye.
Matthew, aye.
Denise, aye.
Janine,
aye.
Committee, aye.
Anthony, aye. Andrew, aye.
Thank you. The meeting is adjourned at 7:15.
Oh, wow, look at that.